Welcome to CWH. I'm Mike Salem. We hope our weekly broadcasts bring you comfort as you hear the Word of God from my dad. And with our expanded website, cwh.org, you can find more resources that will minister to you. We received a note from Illinois, and it reads, "Thank you for keeping Pastor Salem on the air. I discovered him a few short years ago and am so grateful for his messages, even as he is in heaven. He can still bring new people to Jesus, as well as comfort and enrich those of us already saved." We hope Pastor Salem's message, "The Value of the Soul, on Surrendering Everything We Have to Jesus," brings you joy and comfort today. May God bless your week.
I'm Pastor Salem, and I want to welcome you to the Christian Worship Hour. We're always happy when the weeks go by and we get to come on the weekend and get to visit you and get to see you. And oh, I wish we could just see you face to face and talk to you. And you know what? If you give yourself to Jesus, if you accept Jesus, we'll see you in heaven and we'll get to meet you personally. But you have to have Jesus. You have to make that prayer, "Dear Jesus, come into my heart, take away my sins. I'll serve you the best I can and thank him." That's the way. Well, we're looking at Psalms 96 today. "Give unto the Lord, O ye kindreds of the people, give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. O worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Fear before him all the earth. Say among the heathen that the Lord reigneth. The world also shall be established, that it shall be moved and shall judge the people righteously." And so, dear Heavenly Father, thank you that you're God. You're the King of kings and the Lord of lords. And you have all things under your hand and you control all things. And so we just thank you that even though you are so great, you are mindful of each one of us. Maybe people don't know us. Maybe we're unknown. But you know all about us. And you love us. And if we put our faith in you, you will save us from our sins. You'll write our names in the Lamb's Book of Life. And we'll have that wonderful, wonderful joy of salvation. So in this service today, may we encourage many, and may many come to know you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Jan is going to sing today, "I Surrender All." God bless you, Jan.
Jesus, I surrender.
Thank you, Jan. Well, that's where we need to be as Christians. We need to surrender all, give all to Jesus. You can't go wrong. Give him your whole life and everything we have. And there's real joy and happiness is walking with the Lord. It's just the only way to travel. Well, we want to thank you for the letters. We read every letter we get. And if you have a problem, we try to answer it for you, try to help you think through it. And we just love to hear from you. And I hear a lot of people like to hear the letters. So we're going to read some of them today and maybe make a comment on them. And so you'll kind of know where people live and what they're thinking and what one lady wrote and said. When you read some of those letters, they're asking questions. She says, I'm asking the same question, but I just don't have the nerve to write in. And so maybe we'll answer some of your questions. Well, let's look first of all. Here's Tupelo, Mississippi. And they write, you will never know in this life just what a great blessing you are to so many people. Some of the sweetest thing you say are when you tell about people getting saved. Some of the sweetest things you say is when you tell about people getting saved and trusting Jesus as Lord. God bless each of you who knows this may be the year the Lord comes. And I thought when I got that letter, I thought about the angels in heaven. And I thought about the rejoicing in heaven. When somebody accepts Jesus, there's rejoicing in heaven. And I heard the preachers preaching, he's saying that the angels are rejoicing. Well, that's true, but there's a verse that Jesus gives us in Luke 15:10, and it's not talking about just the angels. Listen to what Jesus said. Luke chapter 15, verse 10. Likewise, I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God. Now, if it's in the presence of the angels of God, that's the God himself, the Holy Trinity. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. The angels rejoice, but so does the Holy Trinity. And what do they rejoice about? When one person calls on the name of the Lord and is saved. Oh, the glory of it. We're going to talk about the value of the soul today. And I'm going to tell you it's so valuable that when a soul comes to Jesus, there's rejoicing in heaven. And my guess is that during our service today, there'll be a lot of rejoicing in heaven because I just know that all over this world, wherever the gospel is preached, and on shortwave radio, we reach 90% of the world's population. I know that there are people asking Jesus to come into their heart. And so they'll be rejoicing in heaven. And we're rejoicing because we know it's happening. Well, let's see. Cogswell, North Dakota. I have asked God to come into my heart. Please send me information on being saved. And can we ever lose being saved? Now, we get that asked a lot. I think probably, you know, I've been in the ministry now almost 73 years. And I have a lot of questions asked. But I think the one that I ask the most is, can I lose my salvation? Am I really saved? I want to be sure I'm going to heaven. Can I lose my salvation? And the answer to that from the Bible is absolutely not. Once saved, always saved. Mark it down, take it to the bank, or smoke it in your pipe, like my old granddad said. That's as sure as the world stands. And we have a book on that, a little booklet that we'll send you. And if you can send a gift, but it's free and postpaid. But if you can send a gift, that's all the better. It's about 13 pages. And it's not me having a dream and coming back to life. It's all scripture. If you accept Jesus Christ, you cannot go to hell. So just get your pencil and paper, and we'll give you the address in just a minute. Now, I might just say along with that, John 10, verses 28 and 29, Jesus says, I give unto them eternal life. And Jesus says, I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Now, what more do you want? I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. I hold them in my hand. And he says, my Father, which is greater than holds, holds my hand. And so we're in Jesus' hand, and God is holding Jesus' hand. And we're in the hand of God. And somebody says, well, what if I want to get out of his hand? Well, Buster, are you stronger than God? Can you, where'd you come from? So you write to us, get your pencil and paper, and we'll send it in. And there shouldn't be no question about it. That because, see, there's joy in knowing, I am so happy, I know I'm going to heaven. You say, well, yeah, you're a preacher, you're going to heaven. Preaching doesn't have a thing to do about it. Not a thing. It's been while I accepted Jesus. I asked Jesus to come into my heart while I was 10 years old. I said, dear Jesus, please come into my heart, something like that. I ask you to forgive me for my sins. And I just thank you, Jesus. And he's been there 85 years, almost 86 years. And he's never left me. And he says, I'll never leave you or forsake you. And you can have that too. I don't care. You say, well, I've sinned against light. I sinned and I knew it was wrong, but I did it anyway. I guess most all of us have done that. I don't know. I know I have. But that doesn't matter. If you confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins, cleanse us from all unrighteousness, and he washes us in the blood of the Lamb, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. And God tells us through the prophet Isaiah, come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they're going to be like wool. And when you see a wool on a sheep, it's all dark and it's black and it's got gravel in it and the sand and all the rest of it. Well, he's talking about the shorn sheep when they're sheared. And next to the body is smooth and beautiful and white. One of my first jobs was tying wool for some sheep shearers. And I've seen that on the wool on the outside's all dark and colored and discolored and dirty, but next to the body where it's shorn off, it's just a glistening white. That's what he's talking about. Your sins are, no, you can't lose your salvation. No way. Sorry. Here's Tigard, Oregon. Says, I have been a Christian for 48 of my 56 years, but had lost touch with Jesus. You have all reinstilled my love and faith of the Lord and given me so much new Christian information. God bless you, all of you, and may each day of your lives be filled with Jesus in Christ's love. Isn't that beautiful? Look at the way, I think this is a man writing this, I can't remember. And he says, I lost touch with Jesus. That means you backslid. A lot of people backslide. Christians backslide. We drift away from the Lord. Sometimes we don't realize it until we wake up and we're away from the Lord. Well, you can always come back. You say, yeah, but I've done that twice already. How many times will it take me back? Well, he'll maybe take you back a million times. Would that be all right with you? You know what it says? Don't forget the grace of God. God's grace will cover all of, is greater than all of our sins. My grace is sufficient for thee. And what does God say? Where grace abounded, sin abounded, grace did much more abound. God's grace and love is greater than all our sin. Come back to Jesus. Just tell him you drifted away. He'll take you back just like the prodigal son. Do like Peter. He swore and cursed, said he didn't even know Jesus. He went out and wept bitterly. And God took him back and met him on the Sea of Galilee on the shores, made a meal for him and recommissioned him and told him, go on now and preach, serve me. I'm not done with you, Peter. If you come back, if you repent, you come back to me, I'll take you back every time, put you to work. Isn't that, that's the grace of God. Well, let's see, where's this? Decatur, Illinois. And this says, thank you for such a good service. Ever since I found your program on the TV, I have watched it if I'm not working. Your service is so real that sometimes when I watch your program, I cry. I've asked Jesus into my life and I'm a changed person. It's been a great experience. You have changed my thinking about life. Please continue to pray for me and my family. Keep up the good work and your staff also. That's exactly what he does. It's a repentance, is a turn, it's a change. It's a turn from the old life to walk with the Lord Jesus Christ, and you'll have a new look. What does she say here? I have changed my thinking about life. That's exactly it. The whole thing, whole, your goals will be different and everything. You're born again, you're a new creation. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things passed away, all things become new. Oh my goodness. Isn't that beautiful, that wonderful gospel? I can't get over it. And oh, here, oh, hey, listen to this. Wake up. Wake up if you're drifting off. Wake your husband up. This is Dublin, California. It says, praise the Lord. I want to donate this for the ministry. I watch you on television. I am happy. I am happy to be a born-again Christian. I am a silver medalist at the 1984 Olympic Games in weightlifting in Los Angeles. Pray for me. Thank you. And it's Mario Martinez. And he's the first American to both snatch over 400 pounds and clean and jerk over 500 pounds in a meet. Think of it. What a great man. And he knows Jesus. And he's talking about Jesus. And I'm going to, and if you want to read about him, you Google Mario Martinez and you can get his life story. It's beautiful. Just thrills my soul. And here he is, he's lifting, what, 400, 500 pounds. I can't hardly lift my voice. And look what he's doing. But you know what? When I get to heaven, I'll be just as strong as Mario, just every bit. So that's something to look forward to. Here's North St. Paul, Minnesota. I took Christ's forgiveness to my heart. I can now confess my sin to one and all because in the past I didn't know God's love as I know it now. And so here's a man, here's somebody came to the Lord. I don't know if it's a man or a woman, can't remember anymore. But when you give and when you help us and when you pray, you're a partner in this thing. You're going to get dividends too. This wonderful thing of knowing the Lord, coming to the Lord. Here's Milo, Iowa. I was disappointed when a change in TV services at my apartment no longer allowed me to receive your service. But God provides. I went to your website and now I enjoy the services and devotionals on my iPad mini. Now, I can tell you one thing. This isn't from a senior citizen. Because I don't even know what an iPad is, let alone a mini. And I hope that doesn't mean I got a short sermon, that mini business. I don't like that. But here's, isn't this beautiful? Well, I don't know what these are, but we've got a team, and a technical team, and they do take care of all this technical stuff. I'm trying to learn to work a computer, and I'm going to go crazy with that. And they're way ahead of me, and here's an iPad mini. And so I hope it doesn't strain the gospel or something, but you can't stop the word of God. One more, Sioux City, Iowa. Thank you so much for your program and a new song. Now, the new song is a little devotional we put out, a little Bible study we put out every month. And this month, the month of March, it's the joy of the Lord. It's Easter's month. And so we talk about the joy of the Lord. Now, it's free and postpaid. I'm going to get your pencil and paper. We're just about ready to go here, and you can write for us. He says, I thank you so much for your program and the new song. It is so informative. I follow along with my Bible. Thank you for explaining the verses. I accepted God through your program some years ago. God bless you. Oh, I love this wonderful ministry, the Christian Worship Hour. People coming to Jesus and older people having his strength and help and young people. Well, I'm telling you, they've got struggles too and decisions to make and the gospel will help them. Now you write to us and we'll send you the new song and you maybe want to send us a letter. Maybe we can read it. You write at the Christian Worship Hour. The Christian Worship Hour and the box is 2002. And we're in Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57403. If you want to send a gift on the internet, you can do the ChristianWorshipHour.com. And you can send it anywhere in the world, and we'll get it in American currency, and we'll pay our bills. But we have to pay our way just like anybody else, and that's the way we want it. It's the gospel. And James says, you have not because you ask not. If you don't tell people you have a need, they won't know. And so we do have a need. We have a need, and we're just letting you know that. And so our address is Post Office Box 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57403. If you wonder how the money's being spent, you say, well, what if they spend it on riotous living? We are a member of the Evangelical Council for Financial Accountability. That is an international organization. They check our books. They go through, audit us. They know how every penny we get, and they know where we spend it and how we spend it. And so you can count on the money going to the right place. Now, be sure to write it. It's on your screen there. Box 2002, Christian Worship Hour, Box 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57403. And all of you on shortwave, we can't put the box up for you, but you be sure to write to us. Pray for the ministry. Help us, and just ask God what he wants you to do, and then we'll come out just fine. So now I'm going to pray. Jan's going to play, and you give as the Lord leads, and everything will be just fine. Heavenly Father, thank you for speaking to your people. Thank you for the gift we're to receive. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Jan. God bless you. We're reading from Mark chapter 8 today, verse 34. Mark chapter 8, verse 34, with the words of our Lord. Jesus said, when he had called the people unto him with his disciples, he said unto them, whosoever will come after me, Let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it. For what shall a man be, what shall a profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. We're going to pray, and in our prayer, you know, we always pray for the persecuted church. And we're going to pray for our brothers and sisters in Congo, persecuted church in Congo. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this passage of Scripture. And thank you that you're opening the doors that any one of us, all of us, can follow you if we want to. We can all be a part of your movement, a part of your soldiers. We can be in your camp. And maybe we haven't had a seminary education. Maybe we don't have much of an education at all. Doesn't make a bit of difference to you. Maybe we've been a terrible sinner, lived a terrible life, but we accept you as our Savior. We're washed clean in the blood of the Lamb, and we're a new creation in Christ, and we can serve you and become a part of your service. And Lord, we thank you for that precious soul, because that's the most important thing we have. We could lose everything, but if we lose and save our soul, everything is all right. And so we're just praying today, Lord, that if there's people that are watching and listening and worshiping with us, and they've never opened their heart to you and their soul isn't safe, it's in jeopardy, oh, help them to come to you. Oh, wouldn't that be a glorious thing? So this is your service. And then, Lord, we do pray for our brothers and sisters, the persecuted church in Congo. And how many are dying and how many have given their life. And Lord, we don't pray for them because they are now in your presence and they wear the martyr's crown. We don't pray for them. But those left behind, Lord, we just pray that you'll encourage them and help them to know that they're an encouragement to us. And they help us to stand for you and stand true and never give up, but to follow you to the death if needs be. So just bless your people. I know you will, Lord. And we just pray that you'll help us to live such a life that if the devil came to our door and we had to give our life, oh, may we be willing to do it. Help us to be that strong and that determined and that true to you. So we just give everything into your hands. Bless this service. Pray it in the Savior's name. Amen. Hank's going to sing. He's going to sing about a mighty rich man. I don't know if that's him or not, but that's what he's singing about.
I was raised a poor boy. People didn't think too much of me. But Jesus saw something in my life that they could not see. He reached down and touched me, placed me in the palm of his hand. Jesus made this poor boy a mighty, mighty rich man. In the field while resting underneath a tree, Jesus called my name and said his preacher I would be. I used to walk on plowed ground, now on the gospel I stand. Jesus made this poor boy a mighty, mighty rich man, a mighty rich man. Looking back on my life, it's all such a great mystery. How Jesus took a simple man and made a place just for me. why the Lord chose me. Guess that I will never understand why he made this poor boy a mighty rich man. Oh, yeah. I used to live in a shack, but a mansion is waiting now for me. Jesus has promised I'll live with him eternally. I'll praise his name. I'm not afraid to lift up my hands. 'Cause Jesus made this poor boy a mighty, mighty rich man.
Well, thank you, Hank, and I guess he's singing about every Christian. We're all rich in Jesus Christ. Oh, the unsearchable riches of Christ. And I'm going to tell you, when you accept Jesus, we are told that we are joint heirs with Christ. Oh, my gracious, what are we going to do? Well, we're going to find out one of these bright, sunny days. The Lord's going to come again. Maybe he'll come and take us home individually. Maybe he's going to come and take a whole gang at once. Either way, it's going to be a great and a glorious day. Well, we want to talk about something that's very, very important, so I hope you'll pay attention. It's the most important thing you have, and that is our wonderful soul. This wonderful soul, for instance, about David, talks about way back in the Old Testament, and they're trying to take David's life. Saul is trying to take his life, and he's hiding in a cave. It's called Adullam, the cave of Adullam, and he records it, and this is what he said. David looks for help, and he says, I looked on my right hand and beheld, but there was no man that would know me. Refuge failed me, and this is what he said. No man cared for my soul. Now, when he talks about the soul, what does he mean? What is he talking about? Well, first of all, when we talk about the soul, we simply mean that it's the real person. It's the person. That is, soul is the part of a person that has the feeling and the emotion and the memory. That's their soul. And the Bible teaches us that a person's moral, spiritual, never-ending part is his soul. And so Jesus answered that question, what is the soul? In Mark, Jesus said that what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world, lose his own soul? In Matthew, Jesus asked, what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? In Luke, he says, what is a man advantaged if he gain the whole world and lose himself? That's your soul, himself. There it is. The soul is thyself. Myself is my soul. It's the real person. It's that part of us that loves and hopes and prays and believes and aspires and is tempted and sins and repentance is. That's all wrapped up in the soul. And every way you look at that soul, it is the most important thing that you have. It is the one great supreme part of the individual. The most important part of a person is his soul. You can see that by the process of subtraction. That is, take a man's soul from him. You subtract his soul from him. And then you add the whole world in its place, and what is left? Zero. Nothing. If you take his soul, there's nothing. And if you add the whole world, it's nothing, because the world's going to vanish. Peter says, it's going to disappear with fervent heat. And all that real estate and gold and all that treasures you have is going to be gone. And if you're talking about your bill, health, and your beauty and all, you'll get old and wrinkled and you won't be so beautiful anymore. And so here it is. You have this person. You take his soul. And what do you call it, that body? Call it a corpse. It's no life, no feeling, nothing. All of our feeling is in our spirit and soul. All of our feeling, all of our memory. And that's why that a corpse doesn't have any, it still has the nerves, has the muscles, has the heart, has everything, but has no feeling. Soul is gone, see? And so with the soul, you have a piece of what, instead of a corpse, with that soul, you have a piece of work that is an art. You have a person with reality and ability and purpose. You have a creation made in the image of God. That's the soul. But alas, subtract the soul. The masterpiece is gone. The beauty has vanished. You have nothing but dust. The dust of the ground. And sure enough, out of the earth, the body was taken. And back to earth, the body will go. Without the soul, you have nothing more than an animal. You have nothing more than a reed or a weed. And if it's cremated, immediately nothing's left but dust and thrown to the wind. You see the greatness of the soul by simple subtraction. You take it from the body and you have nothing. You can see the greatness of the soul by the purpose of life. For instance, why are we here? Why do we exist? What do we exist for? What is life all about anyway? Friend, I'm telling you, in all of it is, all this life, if just life is meant to this hustle and this bustle and this confusion and this commotion and the sun coming up and the sun going down and the river and the rivers running into the sea and then there's some grain and the rivers go and there's a circle over. If that's all there is to life, it's nothing but monotony. And Solomon in the book of Ecclesiastes says, it's vanity, it's vanity, it's nothing. You have to have that wonderful soul, see? So when we say, what is life all about? What is the purpose of life? Is it to make money? Is it to gather wealth? Is it to have the good times, the parties and the pleasures? Is it to gain knowledge and fame? Is it to get glory and to be seen of men? What's life all about? On the other hand, life is a probation period for the preparation for the soul for eternity. And that is what lasts, and that's what be here forever, and the purpose of life. So without the soul, life is nothing but a tumult. If you don't take the soul into this, life is just nothing but vanity, like the Ecclesiastes says. There's no rhyme or reason to life if you don't add in the soul. It's meaningless. The soul then is so important that all of life has no meaning without the soul. That's how important the soul is. You see the greatness of the soul in the purpose of life itself. We see it in the permanence of its endurance. It is everlasting, if you please. It will never end. It will go on forever in heaven or in hell. It'll never cease to be. So the soul is everlasting. Some of the cults teach that the soul dies when the body dies, but that the soul is annihilated at death. It's like the vase that's dashed to pieces. And when you die, there's no more to you than a dog. But God tells us that God says, talks about that. And this is what he says in Matthew 10, verse 28. Fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul. But rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. In other words, the most important part of a person is not his body or his brain, but his soul. And that part of that continues forever in heaven or hell. Its permanence shows how valuable it is. But the highest test of the value of any object is, what does it cost? What was it paid? What did you pay for it? What that toothpick? What did you pay for that toothpick? How valuable is it? Or that diamond ring you gave your wife or you that you have? How valuable is that? Well, what did you pay for it? So what did we pay for the soul? It cost God his only begotten son. That's what it cost. And that's why you value to take the value of it by the cost. It cost the Son of God his precious blood on the cruel cross. It was such a terrible price that when it was paid, the sun hid its face and earth convulsed and men trembled and women wept. And God turned his face from his own son, and there was darkness and plunged darkness at noonday over the whole world. How valuable is the soul? How can you measure the value of that, what was paid for it? Don't you see? Yes, the soul is the person. The body is not the person. The body's the house that we live in. The person is the soul. And when that soul departs, then you have death. And when Jesus called the little girl back, the little 12-year-old girl called her back, it says when the spirit came, her soul came, her life came. That's all bound up in your soul. And when the soul departs from the body, there is no value to the body. It's a corpse. What is the value of the soul, friend? It is priceless. It carries a price tag that huge. But I want to tell you something about the soul. It is in jeopardy. It is in jeopardy. Originally, the soul was perfect. Adam and Eve were in the Garden of Eden. They had a wonderful fellowship with God. But then Adam sinned. We call it the fall of man, the depravity of man. And that is why man is so wicked today, is because that's why they kill little children and babies in Syria right now while we're preaching, if you can imagine it. It's the fallen nature of man. And God, St. Paul tells us, in Adam all fell. That is, the whole human race fell. And that we all have that old fallen nature of Adam. And we're born with it. And that's why little children fight over toys, because they have that nature of selfishness, self. And they have it from the day of their birth. And so we have to be very careful, because that soul is in jeopardy. Now all the little children, when Jesus Christ died on the cross, he paid for the sins of all the little children. All those, and you remember when Jesus was here, and they brought the little children to him that he should bless them, not baptize them. Because John says Jesus never baptized anybody. They blessed them. And what did Jesus say? He blessed the little children. He says, and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. They're all in my kingdom. All the little babies, all the little children, they're in my kingdom. But when we come to that age of accountability, then we have to give an account for our sins. And so that soul, we have a man come past 12 or somewhere in that age. We are responsible for our sins. So the soul needs to be restored. It needs to be saved. It's lost. It's sinned. And Jesus Christ came to the cross and died for our cross. That's why David says, as he writes, he restoreth my soul. He restores it. He saves it. He rescues it. He redeems it. St. John puts it so plainly. He says that he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. That is, his soul has been restored. But St. John goes on and he says, he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. That is, his soul has not been restored. That's John 3:36. And if you want to know how the scenario ends, you can turn to the last book of the Bible, and it tells us exactly how it ends in Revelation 20 and verse 15. Whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. So the precious soul that God has given us, that soul that is scarred by sin, that skull, that soul, and we have all of our feeling and memory, that great soul is in danger. And so what is the condition of your soul? That is, I simply mean, is it saved or is it lost? Is it restored or is it still in sin? Is it restored? Is it rescued? Where is it? It's one of the two. You're in or you're out. You're black or you're white. You're saved or you're lost. It's heaven or hell. There's no in between. Sometimes people say, oh, I'm going to be neutral. You know, Jesus settled that. You know what he said? He that is not with me is against me, period. So if you don't have Jesus Christ, you have the devil. That's all there is to it. And that's why we preach. That's why the Christian worship hour, we're working our heads off and we're doing everything we can. We're trying to tell you, come to Jesus. And that's why Jesus said, that's why he said, what shall it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Well, that's not a difficult question to answer because everybody knows it, whether they admit it or not. If I gained the whole world and lost my own soul, I'd be the loser. I'd be the loser because if I don't have my soul saved, I maybe have the whole world and own the whole world for 10 or 20, 30 years, maybe 40 years. I don't know what, but the day will come when I'll close my eyes in death and I'll meet my God, and then I'll see. I'll be in hell. I'll find out there is a hell. People make fun of hell. Don't laugh about hell. It is real. Jesus talked about it. Jesus told it over and over again, where the worm dieth not and the fire's not quenched. He warned us about hell. And that's what we do on the Christian worship hour. And it may be old-fashioned. I don't know what it is, but it's the Word of God. So it's right up to the snuff, right up to date. And it is true. And God says there is a place of hell. No question about it. So what shall a man profit if he gains the world, loses his own soul? You know what the answer is. Zero. Nothing. But Jesus asked another question, a second question. And it sounds the same as the first. Jesus asked, what shall man give in exchange for his soul? What will a man give in exchange for his soul? He didn't say, what would a man take for his soul? Because we know all about that. We know how little a man will take for his soul. A fading honor, a few dollars, a moment's pleasure, classmates' approval, clap from the crowd, smile from the gang, don't want to be wrong, don't want to go against the crowd. They'll sell out for anything so many times. But Jesus isn't asking, what will a man take for his soul? What will a man give for his soul? And what Jesus is saying, when that precious soul is given to you, and we've sinned, and we scarred it, and we've given it to the devil, what are you going to give to get it back? How can I get it back? And so what does a person do to get it back? And so many people do a lot of things. They join a church. They do good works. They try to be good. They quit kicking the dog. They give to the Lord. They feel sorry for their sins. They may even shed sins for their sins. But God tells us that is not enough, because he says all of our righteousnesses are as filthy rags, Isaiah 64, verse 6. And again, he tells us in Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of your works. All of your works, not of your works, lest any man should boast. That is, you get to heaven. How'd you get to heaven? Oh, I did this and I did that. And everybody's bragging on what he did, see? And when we get to heaven, we'll say, what did you do to get to heaven? And I'll tell them, I took Jesus. And he got me in because he paid for my sins. And he clothed me with his righteousness. And I stand perfect before God because it's not my righteousness, but Jesus' righteousness. And so where do we turn? We have to turn to Jesus. That's where we have to go. He has purchased us with his own blood. That's what Paul says in Acts. So John says, the blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth us from all sin. And that's the gospel message. The precious soul of yours was lost. It was taken captive by the devil, and it can be saved and restored and brought back. You can give. What will you give for your soul? Take Jesus, and he'll wash you clean. A.C. Blackburn was a godly pastor. He used to tell the story of a little 7-year-old girl in his congregation. She was deeply concerned about her unsaved father. And the pastor called on the little girl one day, and she told him that she was very, very ill, and the doctor said she would soon go to heaven. And the pastor tried to comfort her by saying, perhaps you'll get better again. But she says, oh, no. I hope not. And the pastor said, you hope not? Why not? the little girl explained to the pastor, because ever since I became a Christian, I've been trying to bring my father to hear you preach, and he won't come. But if I die, you'll have the funeral service, won't you? And the pastor said, well, yes, and his tears running down his cheeks. And she said then to the pastor, she says, well, I know Daddy will want to come to church that day. You'll be able to tell him about Jesus. And then the little girl said, I'd be willing to die 6 times over if I could just hear the gospel once. Well, later the little girl did die, and the pastor Blackburn was seriously ill, and he couldn't do the service. Somebody else conducted the service, but sometime later, this is a true story, by the way, sometime later, and finally, a tough-looking fellow called at the home, informed him that he was the father of the little girl. He said, I heard that she said she would be willing to die for me 6 times over if I could only hear the gospel once. It nearly broke my heart, he said. I've come to learn the way of salvation because that little girl had such a burden on her heart and for her lost father. He came to know Jesus as Savior. He had his sins washed away in the blood of the Lamb. He had his name written in the Lamb's book of life. And today, he's with his little girl in heaven. That's the gospel. That's the glorious gospel. You can have your soul saved. You can have your name written in the Lamb's book of life. But you have to come to Jesus. And your soul is lost. Because none of us would dare say, I don't have sin, or I've never sinned. I've always done the right thing. We're all sinners. There's none righteous, no, not one. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And lo and behold, God says, the wages of sin is death, eternal death, hell. But the gift of God, eternal life through Jesus Christ, come to Jesus. You say, I want to come to Jesus. How do I do that? Here's what you do. You talk to Jesus in your own words, and you just tell him that you're a sinner. And if you have some big sin that you want to confess, really bothering you, you can name your sins if you want to, and just tell him you're a sinner. Now, he knows you're a sinner, but he wants you to confess it. And so you confess it, yes, I'm a sinner, and I'm just asking Jesus to take away my sin. You say it in your own words, and then just tell him, Jesus, you take away my sins, and I'll follow you the best I can. Jesus taught repentance. He says you have to turn from your sins. Turn from your sins. So ask Jesus into your heart. Said, then I'm going to serve you the best I can. Now, you won't be perfect. Don't try to be perfect. It is impossible. You'll never be perfect. But you can try, you can work, and when we get to heaven, we'll all be perfect. And then you thank him for saving you and tell somebody what you did. Now, if you do that, you write to us. You write to us, a Christian Worship Hour. And the box is 2002-2002. We're in Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57-402, 403, I guess. And 57-402. And you write to us, and we'll send you some literature on accepting the Lord and knowing the Lord. And if you will have other questions, you will be happy to write and give you that. We also need to have your help. You need to stand by and help us as we meet our bills. And we'll stay preaching the gospel as long as God provides. But you'll have to help us, and that'll make the difference. So now I'm going to pray, and you give as God leads. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the wonderful salvation in Jesus. We thank you for the multitudes that are praying right now accepting Jesus. And Lord, then just bless those on beds of sickness. Bless those who are shut in. Be with the young people who have their problems and trials. Be with those that are lonely and help us to love you and trust you. And we thank you for being with us. We thank that underneath are the everlasting arms and that we will never perish when we have Jesus, wonderful, wonderful Jesus. So I just pray there'll be multitudes will do that. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. So we want to thank you all for joining us today. We'll just pray for us and we'll pray for you. And you know, someday we're going to see you in heaven. And won't that be glorious? But until then, we've got to preach the gospel and carry the gospel. So we're counting on you. I'm going to give you the screen one more time. Box 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, or ChristianWorshipHour.com. And next week, we'll be looking for you, Lord willing. And we'll worship the Lord together, all scattered throughout the world. But someday, we're going to be at the throne of God. We're going to be with the redeemed. We're going to sing the song of the ages. And we're going to sing about the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ that cleanses us from all sin. Praise His name. God bless you. God bless you, everyone. God loves you, and we love you, and we're going just planning to see you in glory one of these bright days. God bless you. God bless you, everyone.
My dad loved to preach because he got to tell people of the saving grace of Jesus Christ. For the 76 years he was a pastor, he wanted everyone to know that Jesus loved them, died for them, and rose again, so that anyone who calls upon his name and repents of their sin will have eternal life in heaven. And for those of us that have received Jesus and are born again, Dad wanted to encourage us to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior. I'm Mike Salem. To learn more about having a relationship with Jesus, visit our website at cwh.org. You can also stream this message again, as well as other 30 and 60 minute programs. Locate a station in your area, subscribe to our monthly newsletter called A New Song, view frequently asked questions answered by Pastor Salem, as well as newly released devotions, and submit a prayer request on our Pray For Me page. Our weekly program will also be available on our website, our Facebook page, and our YouTube channel. We hope you have been uplifted by today's program. Please pray for this ministry and help us financially to continue proclaiming the gospel through the Christian Worship Hour. We would be most grateful. Thank you, and God bless you.